What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are now entering the Second Fiddle Comics podcast, starring Mark Clare and Rimzo Martinez.
Moon Man! Bow, 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 Moon Man!
You know that song right here. Hey, it's another edition, of course, here. It's another Wednesday, and I'm feeling wild. I'm feeling wacky. I'm singing covers of songs that with totally wrong words, just because I couldn't think of how to start this episode. So here we are. It's Wednesday, and I am here. I'm the marvelous Mark Clare, here with my partner in comic book crime, Mr. Rimzo Martinez.
There are a lot of things that rhyme with moon.
Spoon. Loon. Is the first one. Spoon's the one I could think of, and that Dune. Led me to Spoon Man, and that led me to that terrible cover you all just heard. But yes, tonight, we're going to be discussing, for the second time on this program, believe it or not, a character who has recently achieved a little more mainstream press. That is the character of Moon Knight due to his Disney Plus program, which, convenient tie-in, Rimzo is currently recapping with our friend Caleb Franz every single week exclusively for Second Print Comics Patreons behind the old paywall, which you can access for as little as $5 a month. Rimzo, would you like to tell him more?
You know, for those of you that have been wondering whether or not you're getting much additional commentary with these recap shows, let me tell you, people loved the Peacemaker recaps we did, where my friend Derek and I were going over the HBO Max Peacemaker series. And it's always amazing how much extra stuff you could get out of these episodes. It's always good when a show makes you want to talk about it after it airs. So, I mean, there's a little bit of appreciation factor in that. But there's something special about Moon Knight, Mark. Caleb and I covered Falcon and the Winter Soldier a while back. You and him covered the Hawkeye series that came out around Christmas. They all had something different about them. Good, bad, ugly, everything in between. But so far, I think fans are really going to enjoy our conversation about Moon Knight and what it potentially means for the MCU going forward. So check it out for as little as a cup of coffee a month at patreon.com/secondprintpod.
Indeed, and while you're at it, while you're on the internet doing internet things, why don't you go ahead and follow us on Twitter @secondprintpod, on Instagram @secondprintpod, find us on Facebook, find us, you're smart people, you know how to find, if you're already listening, you know how to find us, but anyway, do that, follow us everywhere, and if it's not too much trouble, we love those 5-star ratings and those amazing reviews on Apple Podcasts, because, well, that's how the algorithms work, and let's be honest, we're all slaves to the algorithms, just like Mark Spector is somewhat of a slave to the god Khonshu, the Egyptian god Khonshu, which we'll be discussing today. Now, interestingly enough, I mean, as I mentioned, you are recapping these shows for the Patreon. As of this recording, I've only seen the first episode. I almost call it an issue. The first episode of the Moon Knight show. And like, we're not going to do an in-depth recap of it. But I will say, just based on what I've seen so far, it's appropriate that I had lined up. Now, obviously, this is not a coincidence. I purposely chose a Moon Knight story for when Moon Knight was coming out. Because hashtags, because trending topics, etc., of course.
Yeah, it's not like that time we planned for Morbius and they were like, ha ha, suckers, wait 3 more months.
Exactly. So now we have a very out-of-date Morbius episode from January, but luckily a very current Moon Knight episode here. And I'm still trying to figure out what episode we did Moon Knight in. I can't really seem to find it right now. But anyway, it's somewhere, and I'll post it in today's show notes, which you can find over at secondprintcomics.com. So there you go. We have now rounded out all the plugging that needs to be done.
All the plugins and the plug-outs and the plugs.
Indeed. So that being said, let's get into today's story. We're going to be looking at Moon Knight from 2016. Now, in our last Moon Knight episode, we actually looked at the very first Moon Knight issue from, I want to say it's like 1978 or something like that, from Doug Mensch, who stuck with this character for a really long time. And in that series, you will recall, I'm sure, Remzo, we learned about the three different, it wasn't personalities really necessarily in the original Moon Knight.
They were guises.
Yes, yeah. They were guises. And that was, it was more in a Batman sense. Like he would be, there was the three personalities. There's Mark Spector, who is the actual mercenary who became Moon Knight. There is Stephen Grant, who is like this wealthy actor. And then there is also, which is more his, like his public persona really. And then there's Jake Lockley, who's the cab driver who, you know, he gets the street info and he makes friends with, you know, homeless people and, you know, and all and the like, and he's able to get the down and gritty information and dirty work done or what have you. So these three personalities, along with Moon Knight actually becoming Moon Knight, are what make up the character. But it was always very intentional, at least in the beginning of the character. It was I am going to now put on this hat and this mustache and become Jake Lockley. That has evolved, as these things do over the decades or over time, to where it is now, and it all depends on who the writer is. They kind of go back and forth on some of this stuff, again, as these things happen in comics. But now it has become an aspect of the character that these are not just necessarily identities that he chooses, per se. There actually is at least an element of it, of him actually having multiple personalities and him having a dissociative disorder where he doesn't actually know which personality is in charge and stuff like that. So that did get worked into the comics. And the story that we're going to look at today really explores that. Possibly, I don't want to say more, because this is an aspect of the character that has been explored a lot by a number of writers. But it's definitely the most current story that I've read that really digs deeply into the psychosis, the psyche, I guess you could say, of Mark Spector of Moon Knight. So this is Moon Knight from 2016 by Jeff Lemire. Remzo. Have you read this series before? The reason I chose this one, this was, you know, I had already gotten back into comics and I just heard there was a new Moon Knight series coming out. And like, he's one of these characters. It's like, I never followed a Moon Knight series. I never was collecting it monthly, but I just always thought the character was kind of cool. So me being the guy that loves number ones and fresh starts and already liking Jeff Lemire as a writer, he's done a bunch of Marvel and DC stuff. I had enjoyed a lot of Jeff Lemire's work previously. Combine that with being interested in the character of Moon Knight, combine that with a brand new number one. And I checked this series out right from the get go. I believe it was a 25 issue run. And today we're going to be looking at the first 5 issues, but Remzo, if you could just get into a little bit, we've already talked about your history with Moon Knight, so people can go watch the original Moon Knight episode. Watch it. What do you do? You could watch this.
I mean, if you could watch it in your mind.
Yeah, you could like watch the screen, because we don't do video yet, so maybe someday we will.
Open your third eye and just get weird with it.
All right. But I'm more curious what your history with Jeff Lemire as a writer.
I was a Jeff Lemire fan in around 2013, 2014, when he took over the Green Arrow series. This is during DC Comics New 52 era. And a lot of stuff was working and a lot of stuff wasn't working. People loved the new stuff that Scott Snyder was doing over on Batman, and they liked Justice League, but they didn't like Action Comics, and they didn't like Teen Titans, and almost everybody hated the first, I think it was 14 issues of Green Arrow, because Green Arrow had one of the most radical changes. They made him almost like the Justin Hartley Green Arrow from the Smallville show. And it was also kind of rubbing people the wrong way, because this was around the same time that Stephen Amell was launching the Arrowverse with the Arrow TV show. So at some point, I guess Warner Brothers and DC Comics were like, listen, this is supposed to be the big new property we're pushing. Why is it the comic book sucks? So they scrapped the entire creative team for that Green Arrow series, and they basically did a reboot within the reboot of the New 52 Green Arrow comic. And they're like, you know what? Bring on Jeff Lemire. He's written horror stuff. He wrote a book called The Nobody, which is basically a modern retelling of The Invisible Man, which is fantastic. I love it. He did that over IDW. And when he came on to Green Arrow, he took a lot of the elements from the Stephen Amell show, but he did it in a way that actually made Green Arrow cool again. A lot of the new influences you see throughout, like Injustice and all these other things, kind of all began to stem from the Lemire Arrow run, a Green Arrow run. So after that, I was like, if he can take by far the worst performing comic and then make it one of the top 10 books for DC within a year, especially when the show was just starting to, you know, get legs for itself and begin to move and, you know, get a whole new fan base of people that were not really comic book or superhero fans, especially not really Smallville fans, you know, you've done something good. So I've always had a big soft spot for Lemire's work.
Yeah, and I first became familiar with his work shortly after I emerged from my comic book coma for about a decade or so that I wasn't really reading comics. But and that was about 2013, 2014. So I think it was 2015 when he did the series Bloodshot Reborn at Valiant. And
that was good too.
I was a Valiant stan, you could say, from the 90s Valiant. So here I see a number one. I picked that thing up, and I gotta say, I think it's my favorite Bloodshot series. I think I can confidently say that, actually, because I always thought the character was cool, but Bloodshot's like a cool character that has never really been done amazingly well, I would say. But the Lemire run, I thought, was really awesome. It even played on not necessarily the literal history from the Valiant universe, from the original 90s Valiant, but it just had some like Easter eggy type stuff, and it showed that Lemire clearly had like respect for the lineage of the character in a way, while building a brand new interesting story about the character, I will say. And maybe not coincidentally, you know, that character in Bloodshot, he did have sort of a different identities thing going on, not quite to the extreme that Mark Spector and Moon Knight does, but maybe this is just kind of Jeff Lemire's thing, different personalities and such.
He's good at writing characters that are discovering things as the reader is discovering them. I mean, you have two camps of writers, the ones where it's like you're really just kind of watching along and you kind of know what's happening and you're waiting for the main character to figure it out. I've always equated Lemire to being, and you know, I think people might want to say this about, like, you know, Hickman or Morrison or a lot of other people, but if there was like a Hollywood director I could more closely align with Jeff Lemire, it would be Christopher Nolan. He's got the style, he's got the cool. Things can be complicated if they need to be, but he manages to still make it serious and fun at the same time. Whereas some people, when they want to go Nolan-esque, it's like complicated for complicated's sake.
That's the Hickman, the complicated for complicated's sake. Even though I do love some of his work, that's the vibe I always get from Hickman. Like, I'm going to complicate this because I want to make a damn flowchart.
Jeff Lemire has more in common with a Warren Ellis than he does a Jonathan Hickman.
Yeah, who actually, Warren Ellis had done the previous Moon Knight series before Jeff Lemire about 2 years earlier that ended just before this. So that's a direct handoff.
Which is a great synchronicity.
For sure. I was debating between this one and the Warren Ellis one, but I decided to go with this one just because I do feel it's a little more tied into kind of a lot of what we see in the current Moon Knight series. So we dive in today to Moon Knight number one by Jeff Lemire and art by Greg Smallwood. Were you familiar with Greg Smallwood before? I was not, but I will say by the end of this.
Nah, this was my first time.
Me too. First time. Yeah.
Smallwood.
And yeah, let's just say I think this artist should be known, yes, and I am going to ignore that. So Moon Knight number one, we do get the classic, well, not really classic, but in the last decade or so, Marvelism. Maybe it's been 2 decades. I think it started in the Ultimate Comics, didn't it? The little intro page.
Yeah, it's hard to see who gets credit for it. It's either Brian Michael Bendis or Joe Quesada.
Okay.
But it's more known for Bendis having brought this into the industry.
Gotcha. Well, according to this introductory page, we learn a little brief history here. Mercenary Mark Spector died in Egypt under a statue of the moon god Khonshu. In the shadow of the ancient deity, Mark returned to life and took on Khonshu's aspect to fight crime for his own redemption. He went completely insane and disappeared for a time, but returned to protect those who travel by night. At least he thinks that's what's happened. And, you know, it's interesting, the whole thing with Khonshu, because in the original series, like, he quote unquote dies. I don't know. He just gets beat up pretty bad and is left for dead under this statue of Khonshu. But even in the series that we read, the original Doug Mensch series, it's not really clear. Like, he believes that he came back, that Khonshu brought him back, and now he's going to, like, be this vengeance guy and be Moon Knight. But in that series, we never see, like, there's no scene where Khonshu is like, I am entering the body of Mark Spector. So it's kind of ambiguous, I think, even in the original series, whether the actual god Khonshu has done something to him or whether he just has convinced himself that that's what happened. Because in the original, and even in this series, I don't believe Moon Knight ever has powers in the comics. Whereas already, not to spoil too much of what you'll talk about in the show, but it does appear in the Marvel series, he does have some sort of powers, because there was that first, you know, when he first, like, reveals himself as Moon Knight in episode one, he clearly, like, beats up a creature. I'm trying not to spoil too much. Beats up a creature that...
Yeah, I mean, they're playing up a lot of the supernatural elements, because very early on, as we discussed in that last episode where he covered Moon Knight, he was very much a Batman archetype. Mm-hmm. And it's not really going to be until he gets into the West Coast Avengers in, like, the 80s that they start to explore more of that, because that Avengers series, it started going into stuff like with the Phantom Rider, who was technically, like, the original Ghost Rider, and then they also go into more of the stuff with Khonshu as Moon Knight was allowed to be a West Coast Avenger. It's not really until Warren Ellis takes over and then, you know, continue off Jeff Lemire, where they really lay it on, that, you know, Moon Knight is a supernatural character. And I think that progression was for the better, because people stopped making the Batman comparisons as much.
Yeah, I mean, I would say now I could see the original version, because he lived in a mansion and he, you know, was more of a detective type character. But where Moon Knight is now, I'd say, is very different from Batman.
I'd say it's better, because now he really has more, like, uniqueness to him.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And we are going to get into that uniqueness, certainly, in this story. So we start off here. We just see a shot of the moon, and we hear Mark, or we hear, and we read from this, whoever this narrating creature is, Mark. And Mark, you know, one thing I like about Mark Spector? He spells Mark the right way. He spells Mark with the C. Classy move. This voice is saying, Mark, Mark, can you hear me? Mark, is that you? And we now see Mark Spector in some kind of, like, pajamas, or the kind of thing you, like, would be wearing in the crazy house, I guess. Just a plain white pants and shirt type, smock type thing. And Mark says, I'm not sure. The voice says, come then, my son. Come see your true face. And Mark is, like, standing in front of this kind of big Egyptian type statue and building. And he goes inside. He says, Khonshu? He says, I am here. And Mark is saying, this isn't right. I thought I was in. Come just a little farther here. You're dying, Mark. And, you know, Mark is walking in there. He goes into this door, and behind this door, he walks into this room that is suddenly in all white, and sitting there in a chair in the similar suit, actually, is this god Khonshu. Or is it? So this is, like, you know, one of the biggest questions of a lot of this series. It's a lot of, is this happening in Mark Spector's mind, or I guess how much of it is? Because it's clear some of it is happening inside Mark Spector's mind. How much of this is happening in Mark Spector's mind? How much is actually happening to him? How much of this is actual supernatural forces? How much of this is his imagination? So here he is talking to the god Khonshu, and Khonshu says, if you are to be reborn, you must suffer through pain. It is the way of things, my son. Spector says, this is mine. This is who I am. He's pulling out this, you know, this little mask out of a treasure chest, the Moon Knight mask. He's putting it on, and Khonshu is saying, you are nothing, not anymore. But before you can become something new, you must remember who you have already been. And as Spectre puts on the mask, the Moon Knight mask. In the next page, we see a splash page, like pretty much showing us a montage of all of his different personalities. We see the wealthy actor Stephen Grant with Marlene, his girlfriend, the beautiful Marlene. We see Jake Lockley in the cab. We see Mark Spector, aka Moon Knight, fighting crime on the streets. And Spector just kind of gasps, sits up, but he sits up and suddenly it doesn't seem like he's in this room with Khonshu anymore. He's somewhere else. As kind of, we still hear Khonshu's voice saying, here, we still read Khonshu's voice saying, that's how immersed in the story I am, guys. Open your eyes. It is almost time to rise. As two orderlies come into the room. So it appears that Mark actually is perhaps in an insane asylum of some kind right now. The orderlies are like, the hell are you yelling about now, Spectre? You're going to wake up the others. What do we tell you about that shit, man? And Spectre just says, please don't. I don't know where I am. Like, he has no idea why he's here. I need help. Well, the one orderly just decks him right in the face. And he's screaming for Khonshu. He's like, Khonshu, please. And this one orderly is like, Khonshu, what the hell is a Khonshu? You know Khonshu, Billy? And he's like, I never heard of him, Bobby. Billy and Bobby are the two orderlies that we will get to know throughout this series. And basically, they're really treating Spectre like, you know, like you see people treated in the movies, and like you hope people aren't actually treated in insane asylums, but they're beating the shit out of him. This one orderly is choking him while the other one goes to take out a syringe of some kind, supposedly, I guess, you know, a sedative of sorts. They stick him with it, and Mark Spector goes 90, 90, 90, 90 until the next page where we see him slowly opening his eyes. He opens his eyes to be in a room where he is being shocked. So not only is he in this insane asylum, but he is undergoing shock therapy. They're sticking this metal thing in his mouth so he can't talk, so he can, you know, bites down on it during the shock treatment, and they are just cranking his puppy up, just frying Mark Spector here. Before we go further, what'd you think of the, I guess, the kind of hot, interesting, weird start to this series?
I like how they just move into it. I mean, they let you know that, you know, everything you remember from the previous series for the most part are canon. Mark has been gone for a while between the Warren Ellis run and where he is now. And, you know, much like the show Moon Knight and much like a lot of the stories I really enjoy from Jeff Lemire, we're experiencing what's going on at the same time Mark is experiencing it. So we're not just, you know, there kind of watching everything playing out. It gives it more of that intrigue. And I got to say, like, you know, I mention very rarely when panel art really does the story a lot of help. The panel artwork flows so amazingly, and it only gets better throughout this issue in the series.
Indeed, indeed. I would say that is an accurate analysis, Remzo. We move on. See, Spectre has just been totally beat up. Now he's in this room with all of these other supposedly crazy people. And this one lady's talking to him. She's saying, time to wake up and smell the bacon, honey. Just need to get some fresh coffee on, fire up the grill. We are all set to open. And she's saying, what's wrong, honey? Can't be my food. You haven't even tasted it yet. And as Spectre is talking to this chick, we see sort of a flashback, or not a flashback, but maybe it's like a flash sideways. We see him as Jake Lockley talking to this chick, and she's saying the same thing, but she's in a car, and he's Jake Lockley. So it leads us to believe, like, okay, is this really happening in the insane asylum, or is this happening outside in the world as Jake Lockley, and he's imagining the insane asylum? And this is the kind of stuff we grapple with throughout this series. And yeah, he's just kind of walking through the insane asylum. He's seeing reports on the news of this masked vigilante Moon Knight, who is spotted taking on his old nemesis, the sultry Stained Glass Scarlet. Remzo, what can you tell me about the Stained Glass Scarlet? Anything?
She is sultry.
She is sultry.
And named after stained glass.
Thank you. That's all I need. And she basically looks like, well, we only get one tiny little panel of her on a news clip. I would say if Scarlet Witch and Red Riding Hood had a baby, it would be the Stained Glass Scarlet.
Yeah.
We go on and we see that Mark Spector meets this wacky old guy wearing a vest. He says, do not look at that rubbish, my friend. It will putrefy your brain, and it is all part of the big lie. Anyway, pure fabrication. He says, huh? Old man says, ah, excuse my manners, Mark. My name is Crowley, Bertrand Crowley. Remzo, do you remember our friend Crowley?
Was he the pilot?
No, he's the homeless guy that Spectre.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Yeah, and he accidentally killed his son.
Something like that. Yeah, like his son became this killer and they used him as like the bait to find the killer or something.
Yeah, and the son fell off a building.
Yeah, so that's why if this works.
That's really a dark story.
It's extremely dark. Oh my God. 70s comics are so fucking dark. It's insane. So the interesting thing about this series that we're reading now, it actually works as a very good bookend. So again, I would really recommend, even though I can't remember the episode number, go back and listen to our original Moon Knight episode. It was sometime in the last year, if that helps. Just type Moon Knight in your SPC feed. You'll find it, everybody. Or go to the show notes at secondprintcomics.com. But a lot of the characters that we met, the original Moon Knight, I don't know, what do you call his gang of friends? Whatever you call
it. Amigos.
His group. His posse. The Moon Knight posse.
Moon Amigos.
We see a lot of them in this series. I was happy to see Bertrand Crawley make an appearance. He said, yeah, we've met, but I can see you don't recall. And Spectre says, we have. So clearly, like, Spectre doesn't necessarily remember all his life because, you know, Crawley and all these other characters we meet are definitely, you know, Moon Knight canon. Crawley goes on and says, oh yes, we most certainly have. Tell me, Mark, what do you think this place is? Mark's like, a hospital? Crawley says, yeah, very good. Yes, it does indeed resemble a mental institution of some sort. Very good indeed. But tell me when you look closer. I mean, when you really look, Mark, do you see anything else? And Spectre says, no, I do feel I've forgotten something important, though, like a song you can't remember. You know, the words, they're right there on the tip of my tongue, but my brain can't quite grab them. Crawley says, tisk, tisk, tisk. Don't be so hard on yourself, old friend. They probably have enough drugs pumping through you to put a horse in a coma, which, don't get me wrong, can actually be quite pleasant. I'm certainly no stranger to pharmaceuticals. So they are really leaning into the fact that, yes, this man did ruin his life and become homeless before befriending Moon Knight. And Crawley says, I'm afraid I'm going to need you to be a lot sharper than this, Mark. You see, I want to help you. And Spectre's like, can you? And he puts something in Mark Spectre's hand, but you can't really tell what it is. And he says, I can try, but it starts with you. You are the fist, Mark. You are the fist of Khonshu. And only you can break these walls. Only you can lead us all. We travelers of this dark night, only you can set us free. And then we see these two damn orderlies, Billy and Bobby, they come up. They're like, shut up, Crawley. Shut your trap, Crawley. What did I tell you about bothering the other patients? And they're basically just harassing him. And eventually they take Moon Knight away. And as they're taking Mark Spector away, he looks over and sees a young lady in a wheelchair and has a little flashback to this time himself as Stephen Grant making love to this very same woman. Why? Because it is his girl. It is his girlfriend, his OG gal from the get-go. Good old Marlene. Spectre even turns over, says, Marlene? And the orderlies are just like, shut up, lover boy. Or do we need to give you a cold shower? They take him away, and he is put into a meeting with who presumably is like the head of this mental institution, of this warden. And she says, well, Mark, I don't know quite what to say anymore. I thought we were making some progress. Or yeah, she's like, his psychiatrist or whatever, these past weeks. But now you say you remember nothing of that? I just don't know what to believe here anymore. And he gets to this. Her name is Dr. Emmett. And he's saying, look, I don't really know what to believe. I remember bits and pieces of different lives, but I don't really know what's going on. And she says, well, Mark, we've had this conversation actually dozens of times. You want the truth? Well, here it is. There is a Moon Knight, Mark, but you are not him. You've been in this institution since you were 12 years old. And he says, no, that's not true. He says, yeah, we've been through this again and again. You just keep forgetting because you're fucking crazy. You're an orphan. You spent your entire life in this hospital. Moon Knight is your fantasy. You've been keeping a journal of all his adventures, but you know, he's just some guy you saw on TV and you decided essentially was your alter ego to deal with this, you know, this disorder you're having. It's really not the way you should talk to a patient. I'm not a psychiatrist or anything, but I don't know if you're just supposed to lay into them about that and be mad at them about their mental condition. She's like, God, you fucking moron. When are you going to start remembering shit? I don't know. I'm crazy. I'm in an insane asylum. But she says that you are Mark Spector. You are an orphan. You have DID, dissociative identity disorder. He's like, no. She's like, yes. And if you aren't willing to do the work necessary to get better, we're going to have to increase your medication again, move you back to the secure ward.
Man, you know, I was wondering, like, who does she remind me of? She looks like Sarah Palin, but not really like Sarah Palin, like Lisa Ann, the porn star who played Sarah Palin.
When that happened.
Yeah, like, remember Nailin Palin?
I can't say I quote unquote remember that. No, I can't. Oh. But I appreciate that you do. Yeah, I think
the listeners do. The fun ones do.
There's definitely a Palin-esque quality to this. She eventually just says, "I do want to help you, Mark. I've always been your friend." We go back to Mark just laying in bed alone. No, not this is not Lady Shiva trying to train a young Tim Drake here. She says, "That's called continuity. That's called show continuity, friends. That's a joke from two episodes ago, three episodes ago now. So if you get that one, congratulations, you're a true fan." Mark's laying in bed. He says, "Conchu," he's talking to Conchu. "Conchu, can you hear me?" And Conchu says, "Of course, my son. I am always with you," which is a little creepy. He's like, "Even when I touch it, is it true? Is it true what you said? Is this all in my head? Are you all in my head?" Again, the same question the readers are asking throughout this. And Conchu says, "You already know the answer to that. If you thought she was telling the truth, you never would have stolen the pen. Now stop whining like it." So I guess he stole a pen from the office for some reason or another. "It is time." He says, "Time?" He says, "Yeah, time to act, time to rise." Then we see these asshole orderlies, Bobby and Billy, coming in again. And they hear a noise, like Spectre makes a noise with the pen. They're like, and he screams. He says, "Scream!" You know, they hear a screaming from Spectre's room. So they go in. They go into Mark Spector's room and they see not the Mark Spector they know, but they see this crazy guy who has ripped up his sheets with that pen and turned the sheets into a version of the Moon Knight mask complete. I can see how he made the sheets to the mask, but how did he also get the little moon symbol on there?
This is just so weird. You should just accept that somehow he found a way.
Yeah, it's impressive nonetheless. And they're like, "What the fuck are you doing in here, Spectre?" He's like, "Nothing. I just wanted to get your attention. I wanted to see your true faces." And now, when we look at the orderlies, Bobby and Billy, we don't see Bobby and Billy. We see two dog-headed creatures. And he says, "I want to see your true faces so I can pound the living shit out of them." And then we see, I love this page. It's a full page panel that just really has one image of Spectre standing over like one of them on the ground while one of them is like about to get hit. But then we see all these little bubbles of close-ups of the action. Like we see one of just his fist hitting one of the dog faces. We see an up close of his eye. We see blood flying. We see bloody fists. I think this is such a cool page. Like, it's not often that I just have to stop and say, "Look at this page." I'm going to stop and say, "Look at this page by Greg Smallwood," because it's very unique. It's unlike, I don't know if I've ever said this on the show. This is unlike any page of art I've seen in a comic. It's truly unique.
It's very dynamic.
Yeah. I mean, all the art throughout this is dynamic. Spoiler alert, Greg Smallwood is a really cool artist that I'm really glad I discovered in this book. So we'll save the rest for my art score at the end, but Mark is now running through the insane asylum while, of course, talking to the voice of old Conchu, is just saying, "That's right, Mark, run. You're almost there. Why do you think there are no windows in this place? You are buried. This place is a tomb. Find me, Mark. Rise up. Find the moon." And now you finally see the truth. As Mark Spector gets to what presumably is the top of this building, he comes outside from the roof and he looks over. And he sees what appears to be New York City, but it's New York City full of sand with a pyramid in it and winged dog-headed creatures flying around. Holy fucking shit. I mean, it's not that different from New York City, actually.
It's the Moon Knight nightmare verse.
Metaphorically, yeah. This is exactly it. This is the nightmare scene for Moon Knight. This is actually basically what New York City looks like with more sand. This is not that bad. It's not that far of a representation of reality, to be honest. Conchu says, "Look up." And he's like, "What?" He says, "I said, look up. Clean the sand out of your ears. We are running out of time." And of course, he looks up and he sees the big full moon. He says, "Look at my face, son. And you tell me, is this real?" Spectre says, "Yes, yes. This is the only real thing I felt in so long." He says, "It's a full blown invasion. It is Seth." He says, "Seth? He must be stopped, but first you turn around. Why?" And as he turns, he says, "Because it's time to kick some ass," as more of these dog-headed orderlies are running towards Mark Spector, jumping all over him. And really, they get him there. They get him here. They are beating the shit out of him as Conchu, the voice of Conchu, says, "Ah, sigh. I expected more, my son." And one of the orderlies is like, "Careful, we don't want him dead, or Dr. Emmett would have our heads." And the orderlies say, "Open your eyes, Spectre." He looks around and they're just, now he has his mask off, his Moon Knight costume off, and everything looks normal. They just look like normal orderlies. He looks out in the city, sees normal, still frightening New York City. And they're taking him off. He says, I know what I saw. I know. And this is in his mind. He says, Khonshu, can't you help me? Khonshu, speak to me. It's all real. Moon Knight is real. It all happened.
Khonshu, can't you hear me?
Khonshu, can't you hear me? Didn't it? And that wraps up issue number one of this Moon Knight series. Remzo, thoughts?
This is as good as a first issue can get, like, for real. Fast-paced story, really rapid character development to catch you up.
You learn everything you need to know without excessive exposition, which is nice.
It's a good entry point for anyone who doesn't know where to get into Moon Knight. This is a good place to start.
Indeed, and we will continue. Issue two. And we see an up-close of one of the drawings that Mark Spector did, a full splash page of one of the drawings, and a voice saying, these are just the scribbles of a sick man. Spector saying no. And I like if you really pay attention to these, like, the detail here is so cool. There's so much, like, there's little notes on the writing too. Like, there's it says perfect disguise, and there's an arrow that says taxi driver, ? It's almost like what Mark Spector would have really been, like, you know, making notes for if you were a kid planning to someday be a superhero. So, and he's saying, no, this is history. These are records. And again, we're just going through a couple pages of his notes. This one shows his weapons of war, his grappling hook, his truncheon, or moonsticks, as he calls them, and of course, the crescent throwing darts, his version of the batarang. He says, all of this happened. This was my life. And now he's back talking to Dr. Emmett. She's saying, your life? Why do you insist on making things so difficult, Mark? He's like, I'm not Mark Spector. She says, no. Well, who are we today then, Mark? Jake Lockley?
Spank me, Governor Palin.
I can only see her as Palin now. He says, I am the Moon Knight. So now he's denying all of these identities as who he is. He's saying, no, I am Moon. My identity is Moon Knight. I am Moon Knight. I am the Fist of Khonshu. And she's like, oh, that again. All right, well, I expected more, Mark, but these delusions are really... He's like, no, I wasn't finished. I was not finished. Hospitals like this don't exist anymore. Mental health facilities like this are relics. This is like from a movie or something. You are not a doctor. That is not your real face. And she's like, Mark, you said the same thing when you came here from the orphanage when you were 12. You've been saying this the whole time. You're such a bright kid, but you're held back by this terrible illness. And I've been patient, and I've just been trying to help you, but I'm afraid we're going to have to take some more aggressive methods now. And they go to pull, as they're pulling Moon Knight away, the same orderlies, Bobby and Billy. She says, Spectre says, Amut. And she says, what did you say? He says, your name, Amut, God of Judgment. That's who you are, right? So Emmett Amut, aha. Uh-huh. Now, this relates directly to the current Moon Knight series, because Amut in that series is, well... I've only seen the first issue, but Amut is referenced in the first series, and there's a whole thing around that character. So another tie-in here, and he says, you can't hold me forever. I'll be coming for you, Amut. She says, it's Emmett. It's Irish, not a gypsum. Get him out of here. So again, they pull Spectre away. And now, as Mark Spector is being pulled away by the orderlies, he runs into somebody else in the hallway, this guy who's speaking French. And then we see another little flash to wherever of Moon Knight saying, is it gassed up, Frenchie? Oui, monsieur, she is ready to fly, because this is motherfucking Frenchie, who's basically
French Alfred.
Yes, he's Batman's Alfred. French Alfred. That is the way to, that is all you need to describe Frenchie, because he is literally just French Alfred. But I mean that as a compliment, because Alfred's awesome, and I have a soft spot for old Frenchie too.
This guy flies a helicopter shaped as a moon.
Yes, he does. The moon copter, I believe, is literally called. And so then here we are. Mark Spector is back for more electroshock therapy, and they are just zap, zap, zapping him away. But they zap him away, and he wakes up, I guess you could say. Now he is back, now this time in a dark room, not a bright room, speaking to Khonshu, who says, well, this isn't going nearly as well as I'd hoped. And he's like, right, like he's there as Moon Knight, but he can't actually talk. And then Moon Knight pulls this thing out of his mouth. He's like, oh, I said, maybe if you'd help me. He says, help you? This is Khonshu screaming at him. Khonshu, by the way, is just an empty suit with like a giant like bird beak skull as its head. So quite frightening looking, really. He says, help you? All I've ever done is help you. What about when I saved you from death in the desert all those years ago? I'm sorry. It's just that I've been here for so long. And Spectre's like, here in my mind? He's like, is that where you think this is, my son? I've been with you so long, yet you know so little. Well, maybe you should have explained it to him, dude. Maybe I should have trusted you more. Maybe we shouldn't have gotten into this mess. Spectre says, if this isn't my mind, then where are we? He says, in the vessel. It's like a vessel. He's like, you would call it a spacecraft. I think you would understand that, but it would be an inaccurate description. It's more, we are outside of both time and space. We are in the other void where my kind come from, where we have been trapped for a very long time. And you see they're kind of floating through a space-like, again, the art here is so cool, a space-like something in basically what is a amount.
It's a space pyramid.
It's a space pyramid. Thank you. That's an easier way to say things.
It's the Pink Floyd cover.
Yes, yes, exactly. And Mark Spector says, your kind, gods, the Egyptian gods. He says, the Egyptians were our playthings back when we were still free to travel between this place and your dimension, but we can no longer do that. We can still project our consciousness across the other void. That is why we now act through hosts like you, my son. And Spector says, there are others. He says, of course, we have been waging a silent war for centuries, but now Seth has found a loophole. So basically, well, the story being laid out by Khonshu here is that Spectre is essentially the avatar for Khonshu, who has to help him with this war being waged against Set is basically like the Egyptian god of death. And Khonshu explains that, essentially explains that Seth found a way to basically bridge this gap between the utter void and reality, and he is getting ready to actually invade real reality. So that's why he needs Mark Spector's help here. He says, you must know you have a weak mind, Mark. He's like, yeah, and I know. He says, it was why I was able to use you as my aspect so easily, but now it is the very thing they are using against you, filling your mind with delusions, lies. And he's like, they? It's not just Seth? Oh yes, Amut, the doctor. He says, look, there are many of us. Amut is simply using the doctor as a host, but Seth has promised her and others their freedom. So Seth is basically promising everyone, all these other evil Egyptian gods, that they will, if he helps them with this thing that apparently involves fucking with Mark Spector's mind, he will help free all of them from the other void and let them come and play with humans again, essentially. And Spector's like, nice. How do I know this is real? And Khonshu's like, you don't know that. That's the hard part. Now you have to have faith. They will use your mind against you. They will fill it with these lies, these delusions. But you have to remember, no matter where you think you are, no matter what you see, this is the truth. You and me here. What you saw in Manhattan, these are the constants you must hold on. You must fight your way back to. Do you understand, my son? Spectre says, yes. Reaches out his hand and he's for some reason going to give him this like retainer they had in his mouth. He says, good now. I will send your consciousness back to your body. You should put this back in. Oh, yeah, because in this world, it's the
still
it's
getting actually, electrocuted.
Yeah, he's still getting electrocuted and he needs that thing. So he comes out of the electrocution. And he is looking like real Mark Spector is looking rough. He has got giant black eyes. And man, these electric shocks, they don't seem very fun.
Yeah, it's like JFK's sister.
I don't even get that.
You don't know what happened to JFK's sister?
No, did she get...
She was crazy, so they had to put her through a bunch of electroshock therapy. And then they lobotomized her.
Oh my God. Back when that was like a medical... This is how you know...
That woman has opinions! Take out her brain!
Yeah, don't. It's a short way to say don't always trust doctors, because sometimes 50 years later you look back and say, holy shit, that was horrific. And they used to literally take out pieces of people's brains
through their nose.
Yeah, when they were a little depressed, they take out a piece of your brain.
So, yeah. Hashtag the more you know.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, don't get lobotomies, kids, if you can help it. If anyone still suggests it. So he's out there. Spectre is back in like in the asylum, I guess you could say, the common areas, talking to old Crowley, who's saying, man, they sure did a number on you, didn't they, Mark? That can only mean one thing. You're starting to see what this place really is. That's when they started zapping me, when I found out. And, you know, they're talking, and Crowley basically is, you know, he's saying, I've experienced so many things in my day. They helped open my mind to new ways of seeing, new ways of thinking. He's like, I got a lot of experience dealing with mental issues, basically.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
basically is what he's saying. And he said, this old blowhard's way of saying I did a lot of acid in my youth. And so they're going direct now. They're really telling you what's up. He's like, I'm saying I did a lot of acid in my youth and it messed me up, but I think it also let me see their faces, the dog head. So Crowley sees the dog head faces too. And let's just say I can totally see where Crowley is coming from here, having some experience in these areas. He said, but let me see your face too, Mark. It was brave what you did trying to escape on the roof, but you did it all wrong. The word around here is if you want to get out, you need to go down, not up. He says, how? He said, don't worry, my boy, we are not alone. A plan has been concocted. Be ready. So there's already some machinations that Crowley and others have been doing behind the scenes here. So Mark is not alone in this struggle. We go back to Mark in his room, laying there, probably just dreaming of Khonshu, knock on the door. Who is it? My man. Bonjour, Mark. It is me. It is time to go. He didn't say, it is me, Frenchie. I'm saying that. It is time to go, mon ami. What do you think of my Frenchie impression? Is that how you picture Frenchie?
Yeah, kind of like a Disney character.
A little more, yeah, like very Disney-esque. And Spectre says, Jean-Paul Duchamp?
He's about to like break out into like song and dance. Be a guest, be a guest, take a seat.
The fist of Khonshu is over. He says, you used to help me, right? Help Moon Knight. And Freddy says, we. And now I'm here to help you. And now he just became Pakistani. I don't know what happened. Look, I'm not a professional impersonator, guys, in case you didn't know that. I found and stored it. I'm not going to stop doing the impression. I don't know. I can't get back to the French now. I don't know how I went from French to Far East Asia, but I found that in storage. Would you like it? I thought you would like it back. And it is, of course, a bag containing his Moon Knight costume, his Moon Knight mask, his actual mask and all this stuff. Crowley pops in the room. He's like, he's basically like, look, we got to get out of here. Like, we don't have time. We got to roll. And Mark's like, no, like, no, what do you mean? Like, I do think this is the best course of action. It's time to go. And Mark says, no, I mean, not just us. There are others here. Marlene, Gina. Oh, yeah. The black chick he was talking to at the beginning. That was Gina. You remember Gina? She was the mom of those street kids that Lockley became befriended.
Yeah. She worked at the bar.
Yeah, see, exactly. So this is all of, we're really seeing all of Moon Knight's posse that has been with him literally since his very first issue are now just somehow conveniently in this insane asylum, which lends you to think, so is this all in Mark Spector's head? Because why else would all these people that he's known throughout time all be in the same place? Spectre has, look, they were here. They were important to me once. I can't leave them here. I must guide them now. I must protect these travelers of the night. So, yeah, and he's like, go get them. Meet me back here. I got to change. He's like, I got to change my Moon Knight outfit and I don't want you guys to watch. And Frenchie says, mon ami, we are risking. There, the French is back. Mon ami, we are risking so much. Even now, they may see us. He says, let them. I like when they see me coming. So they roll. Now we see a little montage of Crowley is going to get Gina out. Frenchie goes to get Marlene, but she's like catatonic. So Frenchie, God bless this man. Frenchie just picks up and carries Marlene. Apparently there's very little security in this asylum now. So Frenchie is wheeling Marlene down the hall. They meet up with Crowley and Gina, and then they meet up. They see Moon Knight, who is looking spiffy.
Here's a question. When Frenchie is talking to Marlene, why would they have the entire speech bubble in French? Did you notice that?
Probably because, yeah.
They want to treat it like a movie, but like, you know, it's like,
I think because in real life, if no one else is around that can French. Hear him and Marlene's asleep, then he would just be speaking French, you know, because it's like his own narrative voice.
This is a random fact that nobody cared about. But did you know I could speak French?
Like fluently?
Badly. But I like when I was going through this, I'm like, am I like dyslexic all of a sudden or something? And then I'm like, oh, wait.
Mejor de mi español? Like, can you actually have conversations in French? Or
I know what he's saying. Je suis désolé de vous déranger, ma beauté. Mon longtemps est devenu quitter cet endroit horrible. Which is, I'm going to get you out of here, my beauty. We'll get out of here finally, out of this horrible place.
Impressive. You know what I think about French? I always think my problem with French is that it always sounds like baby talk to me, including when you were French. Speaking it just now. The way you have to do the accent, and whenever I hear French people talk, all I hear is "gugugugugugugug." I mean, I'm sorry for the French out there. I love your people. I love everything about your culture, except for the whole World War II thing. But whatever.
It's the least masculine language. I learned it in high school because I wanted to go live in Quebec at one point.
No, that's
and Because I went to
do a whole podcast on that.
I went to Quebec, and Quebec is full of beautiful Quebecois women. And I was like, they'll only, you know, be interested in me if I could speak their language. And long story short, that shit never happened. So the only time my French ever came in handy was in reading this comic.
Well, here we go. And yes, so Frenchie is pushing Marlene along and they meet up with Moon Knight, who is, again, like I said, looking spiffy. He's in the full white suit as well as his white mask. And Moon Knight says, "We are dealing with an invasion of immortals from another dimension. And we are on the clock, people. Let's rock." And then we see the voice of Khonshu that says, "That's my boy." We then see the whole gang. They are basically just running through the hallways, running, trying to find their way out of what appears to be a pyramid of sorts at this point. They finally do make their way all the way out to what now seems to look like the subway station of New York City, only filled with sand. So again, it seems basically when Spectre has his Moon Knight garb on is when he sees things either as they actually are, or as he's imagining, or as whatever is showing him, whatever it may be. And they see this arm start to reach out of a subway car. And Gina's like, "Crawley, those are not real people." Because Crawley's like, "Hey, there's people there." They come out, and these are zombie mummies coming out of the subway car. As Crawley says, "I must say, the public transit system has really gone to hell." That's a New York joke, everybody. And as we wrap up issue number 2, how are you feeling about things here?
I'm loving it. I'm loving all of it.
Not to spoil anything necessarily, because frankly, it's complicated. But we're at this point in the series on your first read anyway. What are you thinking? Are you thinking this is Inspector's head? Are you thinking it's a setup for him of some kind? What are kind of like your initial thoughts about what's actually going on here?
My first time reading through this, I wanted to assume that they were doing like another deep character study, where they were just trying to understand Moon Knight more, because he became less of a... Moon Knight became less interesting, and Mark Spector became more interesting at some point for like Warren Ellis. And I don't have a problem with that, but I didn't think Lemire was going to do that, because in his other books that he's done, he kind of sets things up so you have a false expectation, and then he changes the whole thing on you, and then it's like, oh, this is what we were doing. So as much as I was like, oh, maybe this is all in his head, I was like, no, Lemire's not going to do that. He's going to make you doubt yourself, and then he's going to deliver something crazy.
Yeah, that's what I like about the way this is done. It's kind of done where, like, yeah, there's enough to make you think this is obviously just not straightforward, but there's clues on all sides of things, you know? So who knows? Maybe somebody took all these people and actually put them somewhere and is drugging them. Or maybe Mark Spector's always lived in an asylum since he was 12, which we probably know isn't really the truth either. But he gives you enough that you could believe anything when the truth is going to be. Who knows what the truth is going to be? We'll have to continue to find out. Although, don't get your hopes up. You don't necessarily find everything out in this series, but you'll find out more than we know now. And we pick up, and these mummy zombies are coming after them. And you're the one that speaks French. I think you should be doing the French.
Zut alors, we are caught. Oh shit! Go.
And Moon Knight's like, "Not yet, Frenchie. All right, Crawley, Gina, keep an eye on Marlene and stay behind me." Crawley's like, "Mark, what do you see? What do they look like to you?" Because he says, "I see mummies, Crawley, lots of mummies." And Crawley's like, "Okay, good. I was worried it was just me." But Gina says, "I don't know what you boys are on about. All I see are a bunch of nasty orderlies come to drag us back to the hospital." So only Crawley, it seems, only Crawley and Moon Knight. Moon Knight because he's Moon Knight. Crawley because he took a bunch of acid back in the day, can actually see what these things really are. Whereas Gina and the others, they're still sort of stuck in the normal plane, so they just see regular asshole orderlies who want to get them. Meanwhile, Moon Knight cracks his fist, says, "Well, Gina, mummies are not." Sorry, my eyes are going, Remzo. I had to make the little balloon on my iPad on my Marvel app bigger.
Excuse me, children, while I make this bigger.
Yeah, and then and Moon Knight just, you know, fists in the face, this crushes the face of this mummy with his fist, and he's like, "I hear that, honey, and I am about to sit back and watch you have all the fun." So Gina starts beating. What's funny about this is that Gina is like beats the skull of this this mummy, but she sees regular orderlies and has no problem smashing their skulls, which is pretty funny. And then as Crawley is helping Marlene, we hear "Crawley, Crawley, Crawley." We turn the page and we see, well, it's wearing the outfit of Dr. Emmett, but this has a different head. It has like a crocodile head. This is now more revealed as Amut, who says, I expect this sort of behavior from Mark, but you know better, Mr. Crawley. And the two dog orderlies, Bobby and Billy, are back there. He says, he knows better, Billy. Sure does, Bobby. And they have the injection ready to go, the sedative or whatever. And Moon Knight turns around and says, that is not Dr. Emmett Crawley. It's Amut, the Soul Eater. And Amut now says, Tisk, Mark, we are still stuck on that. And where did you find that outfit? I thought we had all those buried after your last escape today. Now stop all this nonsense and come with us. We'll get you help, Mark. And Frenchie is like, there are too many. And he's fighting off these zombies or orderlies or whatever they are. When Mark hears a voice off to the side, says, Mark, psst, Mark, over here. This is the only... Well, I'm just going to ask, what did you think of the voice of Khonshu in the show?
It's not what I was expecting, but it's fitting.
I think that's accurate. It reminded me a little bit of the Venom voice from the Tom Hardy Venom movies, which I had the same reaction to at first. I was like, oh, this isn't how I picture Venom sounding. But by the time I got into the movie and forgot my presuppositions of how it should sound...
I can dig it.
Yeah, exactly. It grew on me. So, yeah. And similarly, the Moon Knight, the first Khonshu voice, I was like, I don't picture Khonshu sound like that. But yeah, by the end, it worked for me. So whatever. And Khonshu says, Mark, over here. This is the only way, my son. Hurry. And Moon Knight's just like, Frenchie, go get Marlene and then head to the southbound tunnel. And Moon Knight just goes and decks Dr. Emmett or Dr. Emmett / Emmett and just basically knocks her right out. And Crawley is like, Crawley doesn't want to go, but Mark or Moon Knight's just screaming, go, go, go. And he's kind of, and Crawley's like, look, we can't leave him. And they're saying, don't worry about Mr. Knight, Crawley. It is Dr. Emmett who should be worried now, is what Frenchie says to him. Because he knows this is Moon Knight, and Moon Knight is going to be fucking some shit up. So yeah, Moon Knight is just beating the shit out of Dr. Emmett / Amut. But eventually, the orderlies come and they're able to, they stab him in the neck with the sedative or whatever, and they rip his mask off. And again, his mask isn't even off yet. It's actually as soon as they stick him with this drug, he looks up and he doesn't see the dog heads and the crocodile head. He just again sees Dr. Emmett and the two orderlies. And she says, do you see now, Mark? Do you see the truth? And he's like, no. He's like, Dr. Palin says, I'm sorry, but you need to come back with us. Let us help you through this. You won't believe what we can accomplish if you just trust me. He says, You're right, Amut. I won't believe. And punches the orderly right in the stomach, grabs the needle, takes the needle that's only half drained into him out of his wrist and sticks it into Dr. Emmett's neck.
Gangsta.
And then he knocks out the other orderly. She's screaming, stop him, as he just runs away down the subway, basically. And he's screaming, Khonshu, Crawley, Gina, so dark, please help me. He says, he rips off his mask. He's like, I can't do this by myself. We hear see the voice of Khonshu. He says, yes, you can, Mark. You alone must be a light against the infinite dark. And Mark's like, but they did something. I can't see anymore. I can't see the truth. Tell me, Khonshu, is this all real or am I really just mad? Khonshu says, does it matter? He's like, what? He's like, does it matter if you are mad? Your madness is your gift, Mark. Your madness is what will keep you alive. You need to stop fighting it. Give into it. Let your insanity guide you. And then we see these letters on the next page. Let your madness show the way in the Moon Knight Khonshu font. And we see Mark Spector looks up, and now he seemingly is again not in a subway, in some Egyptian building. And he sees two symbols above two doors. He looks up, chooses the left door. He hears voices in the back, they're still coming after him. They say, Spector, I don't see him, Bobby. The two orderlies are on the way. Mark, for whatever reason, chooses the left door, which if I was more of an Egyptologist, I would analyze exactly what these symbols are and maybe really break, because I'm sure Jeff Lemire did not make these randomly. I'm sure these actually do have meaning. One looks like a snake and one looks like an eye, so maybe the snake is more representing like the path of Seth or Set or what have you. So he goes down the path with the eye type symbol anyway. Runs out, gets whacked in the face. Oh my God, but don't worry. It's just Gina swinging that
damn
stick.
Gina.
And she's like, oh, I'm sorry, honey. And so they're like, yeah. And Crowley's like, careful, Gina. No one of us can afford to have our brain scrambled any more than they already are. And now they're in this room where they're like, they're partially looks like the subway. It partially looks like an Egyptian temple. But then they also look out and basically see what we saw as the other void before, the Pink Floyd space place, basically. And he says, we seem to have come. Frenchie says, we seem to have come to a dead end, mes amis. Gina says, what now, Mark? She's like, I'm not sure. And then Marlene wakes up and she whispers, like, there will be a price. And Moonlight's like, Marlene? And Crowley's like, what the fuck did she say? He's like, Marlene, can you hear me? No, she's out again. And Gina's like, fellas, something's coming. And what's coming? This giant Egyptian space dog head god thing is rolling up. He says, do you need safe... I'm going to write a series based on this character with that name. Do you need safe passage, travelers of the night? And it is Anubis. This is the Egyptian god Anubis, who is the one that... carries on his raft, he carries the dead to the afterlife. That is who Anubis is. I know enough about Egyptian mythology to know that.
Moon you Night saw screams, the mummy one and two?
I saw the mummy. Just one, actually. Anubis. And he says, you are Khonsu's ward?
You, the wrestling fan, didn't see number two with The Rock? Rise of the Scorpion King?
Believe it or not, I've never actually seen that movie. I should go back and do it, actually. I should make it my task to watch every Rock movie, to be honest. Maybe I'll make that a podcast someday. You are Khonsu's ward. He says, yes, I am, Mr. Knight. These are my companions. And Anubis says, I will gladly deliver you across the utter void, Mr. Knight, and your friends too, but there will be a cost, as Marlene just referenced before she passed out again. Gina says, damn, I don't have my Metro card. I don't even know a train stopped here. And she's like, what? You don't see him? She's like, of course I see him. The nice driver just wants us to get on the subway, but I don't have any change on me. So again, Gina just sees like normal things. She's just seeing like a subway car driver or whatever. And Anubis says, it is not coin I require. My price is one of their souls, Mr. Knight. I gladly take yours, but it already belongs to Khonsu. And Moon Knight's like, I will not allow any of these souls to go to you. These people are under my protection. But of course, Crowley, who's had plenty of time already in the world, he spent several decades doing nothing but acid and having a kid that eventually he would lead to his death. After the kid murders all his homeless friends. He's like, I've had enough of this shit. I will sacrifice my soul. And Crowley does give himself to Anubis as the rest of the gang, he just like disappears. We don't know what happens to him, but I guess Anubis has his soul while the rest of the gang floats away. Just as the orderlies are coming up, they float away on this Anubis raft into the other void, I guess. And we see all these like statues of Greek gods, it'd be a twist if they had Greek gods here, of all these Egyptian gods as they're floating out. And I guess Crowley is still with him. I guess that he just committed to you're going to take my soul eventually. Yeah, because he's still there on the raft. Okay. He says, and they're saying like, Gina's like, what is this place, Mark? He's like, I don't know. I don't know for certain. The other void, maybe. And Gina says the other void is because she's still talking in normal world. She's like, isn't that a nightclub on 53rd Street? And Moon Knight's like, yeah, trust me, Gina, this is not the same place. And she's like, I'm just happy to get off this thing. So they get to this building and they all get off. And yeah, Crowley, this is where Crowley has to stay with Anubis. She's like, this is my last stop. And he's like, all right, Crowley, see you, Mark. Peace. So that's it for Crowley. Now he goes and his soul lives with Anubis forever now. Gina's like, you smell that? That's New York City, baby. God, how I missed it. And Moon Knight's like, sweet, we made it. We really made it. This is it. And then they run up to this wall and Mark just finds sand. Nothing but sand. And he's like, what's going on here? He's like, Marlene, can keep her face clear of the sand. And Frenchie's saying, I've got you, Marlene. Hold on. And as they're holding Marlene, they look up. They're crawling up through the sand, basically. And they crawl up through the sand into the same New York that Moon Knight saw before. The New York that has a giant pyramid, a green sky, and all these dog-headed winged creatures flying around. So they got
Zack
out of one
Snyder's
mess.
Moon Knight Nightmare Verse.
Zack
Moon
Snyder's,
Nightmare Verse.
This is just Zack Snyder's New York City. thought so far as we begin. Not to our finale. We're heading into the penultimate issue, I guess you could say.
It has not skipped a beat. Once. I mean, these issues flow between each other just so seamlessly. It's like reading just one long continuous story.
Indeed. A continuous story it is. As we head to issue 4, we hear the voice of Khonsu. It says, do you see it now, Mark? Do you see how it will end? Not in blood, but in sand. Mark says, yes, I see. Gina, still oblivious to this shit, says, who are you talking to, honey? Khonsu continues, this is the great work of my brother Seth the usurper. He will bury your world and build a new one in his image. He must be stopped. Are you ready, my son? Moon Knight says, I am. Then it begins, the final night. As Gina points out, fellas, something weird's going on. He's like, and Moonite's like, oh, it's the hospital, but how can we only be just outside? It felt like we went so far underground. As they see the orderlies looking at the window down at them, he's like, just be glad we got out at all, honey, is what Gina says. And we see this cop runs up. He's like, hey, what are you fools? What are you folks doing out in the storm? Why the hell are you dressed like that? He's like, storm? He's like, yeah, it's a damn near tsunami out here. So in the real world, I guess it's raining, but to them, it's a sandstorm. And they're like, yeah, Gina's like, he's right. We need to get inside. I'm getting soaked. So even Gina is also experiencing the rain. And then sure enough, he's like, and Moon Knight's like, this isn't rain, or it wasn't, but then it does become rain. And then the cop's like, where'd you guys come from? I think maybe you should come with me. And then Mark says, no. And he just decks the cop. And then Gina's flipping out because she just sees a cop. But what does Mark Spector see? He sees something crazy with a crocodile head. And he's like, and he says, Sobek, I guess it's the god Sobek. And Sobek says, it is I, son of Khonshu. Okay, so this is a character that Moon Knight has battled before, I guess. Sobek, the son of Khonshu. It is I, son of Khonshu. I've been waiting for you, waiting to eat you and then expel you at the feet of King Seth. Kicks Moon Knight in the face. Now, Seth, what is his name? Sobek and Moon Knight are going at it. Then Sobek turns around and snaps Frenchie in the neck. Oh my God. That, of course, really pisses off Moon Knight. You do not fuck with Frenchie. Moon Knight just starts laying into this god. We see blood flying. I mean, this is a pretty damn violent comic. We see a lot of blood in this one. And we also see Frenchie holding his neck. As Moon Knight comes over to him, says, Frenchie, Jean Paul?
I see him. I see him, Mr. Knight. And he dies.
And we don't know what Frenchie sees, but it seems to disappear into the night. As Mark says, I'm sorry, John Paul. And we've lost Crowley to Anubis. We now have seemingly lost Frenchie as Mark goes to cover his face. And now Gina says, is that sand? What's happening, Mark? And he's like, you see it? Finally. Oh my God. Finally? You finally see where we are? And she's like, yeah, I do see, but I don't understand. He's like, oh, thank you. God, I'm just glad I'm not alone here. I thought I was losing my mind. I'm so glad you see it. He's like, whatever's happening, I think I can stop it. I think I have to stop it. But with Crawley and Frenchie gone, I don't know if I can do it alone. Will you help me? And she says, whatever it is you're going through, Mark, whatever this is, it's got to be better than here. So let's go. She says, all right, let's do it. Oh, no. Call me Mr. Knight. Yes.
I have a question. Is Mr. Knight a separate persona from Moon Knight?
No, this is just a thing he's saying, I think. Because he's basically just embracing Moon Knight as his true identity, whereas all the, like, even Mark Spector, I think he's calling just one of his personalities. But he's now really just embracing, I don't think this is something they've really done before. I've never seen him do this. I think this is a new thing where he's just saying, I'm now Moon Knight. I'm not these other things.
Okay.
So I think that's why he's saying it. And she's like, where are all the people? And he's like, I don't know. And he's still carrying Marlene now. He's like, I don't know. I'm not sure I want to find out either. Something very bad is happening, Gina. And then they go and they see a diner. It's Gina's diner. She worked at a bar when we first met her, but maybe that evolved into a diner. She's like, oh my God, that's my diner.
She worked at a bar, but she always wanted to open up a diner. And eventually she did.
Oh, is that what
they
said?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's a good detail.
Because it's like the Jeffersons moving on up to the east side.
She's moved up from the bar to the diner. And she's like, come on in. Everything's going to be all right. She's being fooled by this damn diner. She's like, Gina, I'm not sure it's a good idea. We should keep moving. She's like, nah, Mr. Knight, are you really not going to let me cook for you? A little rest and some warm coffee may go a long way. He's like, all right, maybe just a few minutes. We cut to the diner where she's just working now. She's got her apron on. She's pouring coffee for these other guys. And talking to these two dudes who seem to be wearing, oh no, that's Spectre. And she's talking about her boys. She's like, yeah, Raymond and Richard, they're everything to me, Mr. Knight. Kept this place going while I was in the hospital. I don't know why they aren't here. I hope they're okay, wherever they are. Mark says, I'll do everything I can to find them, Gina, I promise. And she says, you're a good man, Mr. Knight. I'm nothing without my friends, Gina. Mark then goes to the bathroom in the pisser when he hears a voice.
What do you think you're doing here? The end is here. The hourglass fills of sand and you waste your time. You waste precious time eating pancakes. Tell me, Mark, did you choose poorly? Are you the Moon Knight? Did I choose poorly? Man, even I can't read. Fucking app. Tell me, Mark, did I choose poorly? Or are you the Moon Knight? Or are you just another piece of waste that deserves to be flushed?
Yeah, and Mark's like, look, I just lost two of my best friends. Kanji's all, boo-hoo, you need to lose a lot more before this is over. Getting really tired of your ass. We hear a voice, Mr. Knight, Gina? Oh, and Gina's looking off, says, Marlene? Marlene is now up and walking. She says, the sun is coming soon. We have to go. Mark's like, Marlene, are you okay? How are you? She's like, yeah, I just, the farther we got from the hospital, the better I feel. I think it's that pyramid, the big one. The closer we get to it, the clearer my mind is. Can't you feel it, Mark? He's like, I feel something, but it's not good. You're right, though. We have to keep going. Whatever I need to do to fix things, I'll do it here. And basically, at the end, they decide Spectre and Marlene are going to leave. But Gina's happy because she's living that life. She's living that diner life. So she's not going to move on with them. Spectre and Marlene, Moon Knight and Marlene, I should say, Mr. Knight and Marlene are walking up and making their way to this pyramid. Spectre's like, look, when we get up there, whatever's going to happen, Marlene, it's going to be dangerous. She's like, I know that. When has being with you not been dangerous, Mark? She's like, so you remember everything? Like our time before the hospital? She's like, yes, all of it. I remember your alter ego, Stephen Grant, the Playboy, but I also remember you as Moon Knight. And he's like, and you remember us? I'm like, of course I do, Mark. I loved you. I still do. What I don't remember is how we got in the mental hospital. Do you? He's like, nope. He's like, all right, maybe the answers are waiting for us there. She says something is, that's for sure. Only one way to find out. They're climbing up, and then suddenly Spectre gets hit by, it looks like it's hit by one of his own moonerangs or whatever they're called. And he says, who turns around, says, who do you think? I'm Moon Knight, you lunatic. And we see what appears to be like 70s Moon Knight, or it looks like Moon Knight, like, plucked out of a cartoon or something, or a comic strip. It looks
the
like
Hanna-Barbera Moon Knight.
Yes, this is Hanna-Barbera's Moon Knight. So now after all this shit he's dealt with, now Mark Spector has actual Moon Knight here to deal with as well. What do you think? As we head into the final issue. Well, final issue, not of the series, but of this. This is actually the first five were collected in a trade, so that's why I did the first five. So this is the completion. This will be the completion of the first story arc here.
I freaking love it.
He loves it. And I don't think we need to say more than that. We'll save the rest of our thoughts for the end as we wind up here, head into issue five. And Mark's like, this is impossible. You can't be real. What are you? He's like, I'm here to protect the travelers of the night, Marlene. Come to me carefully. That man is insane. He's like, she actually starts walking up to this Moonlight. So our Moon Knight, Mark Spector, is like, Marlene, don't. And Moon Knight says, she belongs with me. Moon Knight says, no. And now we get Moon Knight tussling with Moon Knight. Our Moon Knight, who's just in like the basically
Mr.
Like
Knight. White,
yeah, Mr. Knight. Yeah, that's a way to say it. Mr. Knight versus 70s Moon Knight. He says, this is as far as you're going to get, Mark. This is the end of the line. What are you? You know what I am. I'm you before you lost your mind. Stop struggling. Let me end this.
That's still not an answer.
It's really not at all. And our Moon Knight, Mr. Knight, I should say, stabs this other Moon Knight right in the gut. And then this is confusing, actually. Oh, yeah, he stabs him in the gut, but then he gets headbutted. And then Moon Knight, 70s Moon Knight, runs away with Marlene. So they're gone. They're just out of here. Moon Knight slowly gets up, turns around, starts walking, sees the blood trail from where he stabbed the other Moon Knight. There's a little like there's some blood on this door with the moon shape on it, the crescent, moon crescent. So he goes through this door. Suddenly, he's in fucking space. He's like on the moon because we see the Earth. And this is totally different animation now. It's totally different art style now. And they actually did have three guest artists that came in and did the art for these different panels now. So he is in space, just walking around in a spacesuit on the moon. He follows the footsteps through another door that has a different symbol on it. Kind of looks like a bow and arrow. He's walking towards that door, hears the sound, grrr, and all these giant werewolves come out, which is quite fitting because Moon Knight actually first made his appearance in the series Werewolf by Night. So a little callback to the old Werewolf by Night series as he continues to just run away from these werewolves, does not even attempt to interact with them, and just runs through this door. Goes through this door, we get a whole new art style as we're on the set of a movie, because now he is Stephen Grant. And who's here with him? It's Marlene. Marlene as the starlet.
Stained glass starlet.
Stained glass starlet. And he's like, Marlene, what are you doing? What are you wearing? She's like, my stupid costume, silly. He's like, I don't understand. You will. There's one thing I need to tell you, though. And he says, what? He says, you should get going. They will be here any second. He's like, who? Here they are again, Bobby and Billy, these asshole orderlies. They're running after again, and Spectre goes through this other door that Marlene pointed him through. Poof! Whole new art style. Now we are in base. Now we're Jake Lockley, and we're in the 70s. We're in the red light district. Hey, Jake! This little hussy's saying, "Hey, Jake, how you doing tonight?" Feel like some company? And Jake says, nah, no, thank you. He says, suit yourself. And Jake Lockley runs off. As he's running off, he gets grabbed by a hand from the sewer. Who's grabbing him? It's that damn orderly again. Kicks the orderly in the face. And the other orderly grabs him from behind. They're trying to stab him with this stuff again. As they're going to stab him, he kicks it away. Lockley grabs the needle, turns it around, sticks the other orderly, and runs away through yet another door, again with that moon crescent symbol on it, pushes this door open, says, I've had enough. And he sees somebody else there. Ah, Khonshu's pup, this guy says. This guy, basically this big, sort of scary Egyptian-esque looking dude. Come to finish me off, have you? This is Seth. And Moon Knight says, Seth, what happened to you? He says, what do you think happened? And Moon Knight says, Mr. Knight says, you did this, all of this. I was sent to kill you. Seth says, ha, is that what he told you? And you followed a puppet on a string. None of this is my doing. He did this. He enslaved me. Who did this? Who do you think? Go to him, pup. Go to him. Mr. Knight walks up these stairs, takes off his mask, goes through what appears to be another door. We hear a voice that says, you made it. I had my doubts. Who are, and then it's that same 70s Moon Knight, still bleeding from where he was stabbed, sitting in a chair at the top of this building, at the top of this pyramid. Mr. Knight says, who are you? Who are you really? 70s Moon Knight says, you know who I am. You've always known. He says, no. He says, yes. Pulls off his mask. Motherfucking Khonshu, man. It was motherfucking Khonshu. Was this other Moon Knight the whole time. And Moon Knight's like, Khonshu? He's like, yeah, I needed you, my son. I needed you, and you came to me against all odds. He says, you lied. Spectre says, you lied. You said Seth did all this to New York, to me, but it was you. Why? I did everything you asked of me. Khonshu says, yes, you are a loyal servant, Mark Spectre. And now I must ask one final thing of you. This body is weak, dying. I need yours. So Khonshu wants to fully take over the body of Mark Spectre. He says, your mind is broken, Mark. You know this. Spectre says, yes. He says, then let me take the pain away. Let me in and it will all stop. The pain, the confusion. You know you just want peace, Mark. It can all end now. Give me your body, your mind, so I can be born into this world. You have served me well, child. Now you can rest. Your work is done. You can be free. Spectre says, no. Khonshu says, what do you mean no? What do you mean no? He says, I will never let you have me, as Spectre jumps out of this door and starts running down the pyramid. As we see some montage-y, we kind of intersperse with some, it's really just one panel we see, but I just love the varying art styles used here. It's like a 70s painting, a montage of him, you know, good old Stephen Grant hanging out with his friends, Frenchie and Crawley and Marlene and Gina, the whole crew. We see Spectre falls all the way off the pyramid and crashes to the ground and is just in a heap of his own blood. It seems that the body of Mark Spectre has died. But then on the next panel, someone wakes up, doesn't look like Mark Spector, looks a little more like Stephen Grant. It is Stephen Grant. He's in a very nice apartment or house or whatever it may be. And Marlene is there in her lingerie. He says, Marlene. She says, what? You don't remember my name? How many other actresses do you bring home, Stephen? She says, wait, what did you call me? She says, why are you acting so weird, Stephen? You're freaking me out a little bit. He says, you should get dressed. We have an early call time. She says, we have an early call time, remember? He's like, call time? He's like, yes, we're shooting the pyramid scene today. I don't want to be around the creepy director without you there looking out for me, Mr. Producer Man. So get dressed, okay? Spectre opens his windows in his New York City high-rise apartment, looks out, sees what appears to be regular, normal New York City. He looks concerned at first, but then on the very last panel, he sets up. He just gives a sly little smile as our last words say, the end. And it is not the end. This is the end of this episode. It is the end of the first run here of Moon Knight. This little story was called Welcome to New Egypt. So Marvel's pretty big about this. I think even now they try to do things in like 5-issue blocks for the purpose of trade paperbacks. So this is not the end of the series, but it is the end of this chapter of the series. So what do you think? And I'm also curious, have you read the rest of this?
I haven't, but I'm going to, and I really don't often, if there's a series that I like after we've done it, I don't lie to myself and say I'm going to continue it, because we usually have to move in like rapid succession, but this is going to be one of those times where it's like tonight after this episode, I'm going on and I'm continuing on this run.
I'm either going to read more of this tonight or read the last two Ultimate Fantastic Four issues that I have to read. to do another episode of What Mark Missed. I've been putting them off because I'm not quite enjoying it as much as I was before, and you probably know what I'm talking
You're
about.
You're in the rough phase.
Yeah, I definitely. Like, I was flying through the Millar and the Ellis issues, but whatever. To hear more about my opinions on Ultimate Fantastic Four, go ahead, subscribe to the old Patreon, patreon.com/secondprintpod. But Remzo, let's get right to it. What are you scoring this puppy?
I'm giving something that I don't think I've given for a modern Marvel book. And by modern Marvel, I mean since like 2013 to now. I'm giving it a 5 in the art and a 5 in the story, because it is just so fast paced and you get so much. This scores highly on the is this good for old fans of Moon Knight and Marvel, and it scores just as high for can this be a great start for new people. I think this is just very peak Jeff Lemire, and the art styles, the how they interchange and how they really capture the work from, you know, the renderings of the characters when different artists jump in, to how they do the panel work. This is a movie on paper. I freaking loved it. 10. Yeah. 10. 10. I'm giving it a 10. I'm giving 5 and 5. 5 for story, 5 for art. It gets a 10.
Movie on paper is a great way to put it. I think the only way I could criticize this, if we were looking at it as a complete story, would be that we don't really get a resolution here. You know, we're like, wait, so was it in his head the whole time? Wait, did he really just defeat Khonshu in some other realm?
It's Nolan-esque. It's like the end of Inception.
It's Nolan-esque, yes. But really, I can't even. Actually, I would be fine with the ending if this is a movie, you know, because it would be like, oh, so what am I, you know, it's like you said, Nolan-esque. But this is just the first fifth of this run. So it actually is just setting out some other stuff. But as an end to a story, it actually works in that way, too. Kind of having that open ended. Wait, so what's real? What's not? The answers to which we do not get, at least in this portion of it. But man, this is just like you said, it never gets slow. It's never boring. I love how he's able to do all the exposition without exposition. Like, it's all just through one little shot. Oh, now you know that he has this history with Gina or Frenchie or what have you. You learn all the history, all the lore of the Moon Knight character without needing to have known any of it before to really get the feel of it and to understand why he has all the connections to all these different people. Like you said, you can walk in cold off the street and get this completely. It's just that if you do know the history of Moon Knight, if you are a fan of Moon Knight over the years, then this stuff just means more to you. To me, that's the best kind of storytelling best way to tell a new story with an old character is to make it completely accessible to new readers by finding ways to fill in the gaps and make you understand enough about the character while also making it rich enough that it's just a bonus if you know that stuff. So that's how I felt about this. Like, if I didn't know who Crawley was, I think actually the first time I read this, I didn't know who Crawley was. Now I do. So now that's the second time around, because we did that other Moon Knight episode and met all these characters. Now that part of it means so much more to me, but not having known that the first time didn't detract from it at all. So I just love how this is done. I love his portrayal of the character of Moon Knight, and I love how he portrays, really just walks this line of, we're always trying to figure out, is this just in his head? Is this happening in some other realm? Is there even really an asylum here? And we never fully get the answers, but there's enough that we can keep asking the questions, and they're questions that we want to keep asking. It's like, not knowing is part of the fun, you know? And you know, screw it. I'm going to stop being around the bush, because it's hard for me to argue against you. So my only reason to not give it a 10 would be to be a contrarian to Remzo. And that's not a good reason. So I'm also going to give this a 10. And the art is fucking phenomenal. I cannot speak highly enough about Greg Smallwood's style throughout this. His ability to adapt to different scenes and like different vibes, different feels, but also the way they brought in these last guest artists on this last episode. There are 3 guest artists on this one that did the different scenes when he's going through those different.
Usually guest artists will detract from a story, especially if it's mid-issue.
Necessary here. Yeah.
It was so well done. It was like an orchestra. It was working perfectly. Yes.
Seamlessly. Yeah. What else is there to say? I mean, this is a perfect book. This really is a perfect book. So yeah, I'm with you. 10 out of 10. That's an SBC 20. That's officially a must read, guys. That's a must read. If we're giving it a perfect score, we really, really think you should read this.
We haven't given a 20 in a long time. We've gotten pretty close, but we have not done that.
Yeah. We have not. And I didn't know what I was going to, like, I try not to even think about grades going in. So I didn't know what I was, obviously I knew it would be pretty high, but You know, once as we go through it again together on the show, it's like I'm not finding the flaws. You know, I at least as far as how I enjoy a story, it's about as perfect as it gets. So can't recommend. And as someone who has read this whole series and is probably going to do so again, because I don't exactly remember how all this stuff worked out. So I'm still, you know, that's a nice thing about, well, about getting older. So I forget stuff more and being a stoner. All these things help. But no, I mean, I think anybody that steps away from a story for 8 years, like, yeah, maybe you know the gist, but you don't remember all the details. So you can still almost enjoy it again as a first read, especially when you read.
You get to relive it.
So you get to... especially when you read like thousands of comics, like I don't know how many thousands of comics I've read in the last 6-7 years, but definitely thousands. So of course you're not gonna remember all the details of all of them. So it is almost like a first time again. All I remember from the first time is that I loved it, and that part is still holds true. So yeah, can't recommend it highly enough. And that's all I got to say. So to hear more about Moon Knight, what should they do, Remzo?
Go ahead and tune in every Thursday at the Second Print Comics Patreon, where Caleb Franz and I will go ahead and recap every episode of Marvel Disney Plus's Moon Knight series starring Oscar Isaac and Ethan Hawke over at patreon.com/secondprintpod for the price of a cup of coffee.
Indeed. That being said, I think we collectively have only one more message for everyone out there.
Be the Fist of Khonshu! And when you can't, read comics.
And change the world!
Good night, America.
Adios.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.